You're listening to the Marketing Spot Blogcast, the internet show about small business marketing with your host, Jay Arrett. Power to the small business.
Yeah, we're back already. Had some great luck lately lining up guests for interesting podcasts, so expect these episodes to be coming at you a little more frequently. Already on the big show schedule are Jason Jennings, best-selling author. His current book has hit the ground running. We also have a commitment from word-of-mouth guru Andy Cernovitz, and this episode is David Meerman Scott. But first, the vital statistics. My name, Jay Arrett. My company, The Marketing Spot, small business marketing firm in Waco, Texas. I coach, consult, speak, and write on the subject of small business marketing. My website is themarketingspot.com. The blog is themarketingspot.blogspot.com. That's where you'll find the show notes from today's show. The podcast archive is themarketingspot.podomatic.com. That's where you'll find all the past episodes of The Big Show. And you can subscribe to us on iTunes by going to the Podomatic website. Basically, just Google The Marketing Spot and you'll find something about the show, the blog, or the company. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, my Twitter name is The Marketing Guy. And I'll leave my height and my weight out of the vital statistics here. Although I'm told I do look taller on the internet, but doesn't everyone? So starting a worldwide rave or getting other people to spread your story around the internet. And that's the key, isn't it? Getting other people to do it for you. Oh, there are plenty of people out there trying to spread their own story. They're the ones always talking about themselves, how great they are, and they never really contribute any valuable content to the conversation. Now, I tell you, one of my pet peeves is those lengthy sales letter websites. You know the ones I'm talking about. And I get a lot of these on Twitter because I get people who follow me and they want to spread their story, but they want to take a shortcut. So they follow me. I click on their profile, click on their website link, and that's where it goes wrong. I haven't clicked on a website. I've clicked on junk. And I will not follow that person. If you've got one of those lengthy sales letter websites, I'm not going to follow you. I'm sorry. So if that's the wrong way to create a worldwide rave, what's the right way? You've come to the right place because I've got just the man to answer that question for you right here on this episode. His name is David Meerman Scott. He's best-selling author of The New Rules of Marketing and PR, and he has a new book out about getting attention online. It's called Worldwide Rave, creating triggers that get millions of people to spread your ideas and share your stories. And let's see what David has to say about creating your own worldwide rave. And so joining us on the Skype line is best-selling author David Meerman Scott, author of the book Worldwide Rave, creating triggers that get millions of people to spread your ideas and share your stories. So David, hey, welcome to Power to the Small Business.
Hey, thanks, Jay. Good to be here.
First, let's take the title, Worldwide Rave.
Yeah.
What is a worldwide rave?
A little curious, huh?
Yeah.
A worldwide rave is when people are telling your stories for you and people are sharing your ideas for you. And it's one of the most powerful and most interesting ways to get the word out there. I mean, you know, as entrepreneurs, as business owners, we've relied for the longest time on either buying advertising or trying to convince the media to write about us. I mean, those are kind of the ways that we typically tried to market our products and services over the years. But I just think it's so cool now with the web that you can create something that's got such incredible value that people talk about it. They talk about you. You can create a YouTube video or a blog post or an ebook or a white paper, and there's some things that people will share. So that's what a worldwide rave is. It's when people are talking about you online.
So small business owners, local ones particularly, might see this book and say, worldwide rave. Well, you know, I'm not trying to be famous worldwide. How does that apply to my small local business?
Yeah, and so I actually specifically addressed that in the book and included some examples of local businesses. When I say worldwide, I really am referring to, actually in some cases it is global, in some businesses are global, but I'm talking about your world. Your world. So a worldwide rave, if you happen to be an architect, might be just your town or just the surrounding community. A worldwide rave, if you're a hairdresser, might just be, you know, your town or your community. But if everyone's talking about you as the hairdresser that has the free, the 10 free tips to choosing the best hairstyle for your body type and facial features, and that's really interesting, and everyone's talking about it in your local community, well, you've got a worldwide rave because you're reaching the people that you want to reach within your world. Although the web allows us to reach, you know, anyone in the world essentially instantaneously, and that's great for certain businesses, it also allows us to reach people across the street or next door or you know, in the same community that we live in.
So a worldwide rave on a local level, you give a few examples in the book. What's the first step? Is it just getting used to the tools of worldwide rave?
Yeah, so one of the examples, one of my favorite examples, is the example of Dr. Helene Smith. She's a dentist in the Boston area. And prior to creating her own worldwide rave, a localized worldwide rave, what Dr. Smith was doing was what every other dentist in the Boston area does, advertising in the print yellow pages, the telephone directory. And she was spending $2,000 per month on yellow page advertising. And her business, she told me, was worth about $150,000 per year. And you know, she was doing okay, but hey, you know, $150,000 a year in annual revenue and $2,000 a month out the door in yellow page ads plus all the rest of your expenses, you know, it's a tough little business there. So she then got creative and created a couple of things online. First of all, she started a blog called the Healthy Smiles Blog, and then she created an ebook. And an ebook is just a PDF document. It's just a piece of content that you put out there for free with no registration requirement. She put out an ebook called Healthy Mouth, Healthy Sex, believe it or not. And this ebook, Healthy Mouth, Healthy Sex, talks about the relationship between your oral health and your sex life. And it's like, wow, that's really interesting. And all of a sudden, when her existing patients knew about that, they told their friends, and they emailed it to their friends. And then when the search engines picked it up, then people would find that, wow, this dentist has a really cool blog, and she has this really great ebook. And literally thousands and thousands of people downloaded her ebook. And as a result of that, more and more people wanted her to be their dentist. I mean, when you have a choice of what dentist you want to use, and you go to the search engine and you type in dentists for Boston, and a dentist comes up that's providing you with really valuable information that's free, versus someone else who either isn't there or just has a rudimentary brochure-like website, you know, who are you going to choose? So now we're 2 years after she started doing this kind of marketing, before she started creating her own localized worldwide rave, and Dr. Smith's practice today is worth over $1 million a year in revenue. I mean, that's remarkable to go from $150,000 a year in revenue to over $1 million a year in revenue. And about 18 months ago, she stopped paying for Yellow Page ads.
Which a lot of small businesses should do, is stop paying for those Yellow Page ads. Well, you give some rules for the worldwide rave in your book. The first one may be a little tough for small businesses to tackle, and that's nobody cares about your products except you. And so here you've got these small business owners, they live and breathe their product, their service,
yeah.
And now you're telling them, hey, nobody cares.
They don't. What people care about are themselves, and they care about their problems, and they care very deeply about solving their problems. So and this rule does throw people, particularly entrepreneurs and business owners, is the idea that if you want people to talk about you and you want people to spread your ideas and tell your stories, you have to give them something interesting to talk about. And your product isn't that. And so you have to get over this idea that you have to hype your products. And it's very different from what we all learned and what we were taught, you know, whether you learned about how to run a business and how to do marketing, you know, at school, or you read books about it, or you were self-taught, or you learned from a mentor or something. You know, when you talked about marketing, I don't know if people heard of the four P's. Is often one of the things you first hear about with marketing. Mm-hmm. The first P is product. Well, okay, but that's not going to get you noticed online. That's not going to get you the people that you're trying to reach. Instead, you have to be thinking about what can I offer that's valuable. I'll give you an example. So imagine that you're an architect in your local community, and there's other architects in that community as well. Well, if you talk about how much of a wonderful architect you are, that's your product. Designing houses. He's like, I'm a really great architect. I won a whole bunch of awards, and, you know, here's how I'm going to do it. That's not very interesting. But imagine instead that architect started a blog, and the blog that the architect started chronicled the building of a house from the ground up, from literally from the very beginning. So the blog probably would take 3 years to write because you were literally following a house as it was being built. But you start from meeting your prospective clients, and then you go to learning about how they live their life and what kind of house they're dreaming of owning. And then you go to figuring out what land makes sense, and then, you know, creating the actual designs for the house, and, you know, all the way up through the day that they walk into their new house. And now I've thrown that idea out now to literally hundreds of architects. No one has yet taken me up on the idea. But how much more interesting is that than a website that talks about you, the fact that you're a good architect?
Well, maybe after listening to this podcast, somebody will take you up on it.
I hope so, because as soon as somebody does this, I'm going to help to make them famous. I'm going to write about them and talk about them and show them at my presentations. I speak in front of about 60 groups a year representing 20,000 people all over the world. Now, I would talk about a blog like this. I have the problem that an architect can solve. I have at some point want to do a custom home. And it's daunting for me to go to the Yellow Pages and search for an architect. It's daunting for me to ask my friends and colleagues for recommendations. It's daunting to go to websites that just talk about how great the architect is. But wouldn't it be cool to run across a blog like that? Someone who educated me on the process, so I understood what the different steps are, and I could visualize how this person works with their clients, and I could see the progress over several years of how this house goes up. And that's just an example in one world, in the world of architecture. And we spoke a couple of minutes ago about the dentist, Dr. Smith, and that's a different world. I truly believe that anyone can do this kind of thing. Anybody can create something that's valuable, that brands them as a leader on the web. But, you know, like we just mentioned a couple moments ago, it's not about your products and services.
Well, and going hand in hand with the four P's, you mentioned the product. There's always the price. Entrepreneurs, they're always wanting to advertise their product, their price. But in your previous book, Tuned In, you mentioned another P, and that's persona. Isn't it about getting into your buyer's persona and finding out what they really want?
Yeah, I call it a buyer persona. You know, some people call it demographics or target markets, sort of interchangeable language. But I call them, we refer to a buyer persona as a group of people that you're selling to. And most businesses have more than one buyer persona. Most businesses have multiple buyer personas. And what that means is that you need to be thinking about who are the buyer personas that you're trying to target. Last year, I actually presented, one of the groups I presented to was the Home Theater Specialists of America. And the home theater people are independent businesses, and they're located all over, probably all over the world, but I spoke with the ones in the United States, so all over the U.S., and they install high-end home theater systems in people's homes. Now, most people who create a website for their home theater installation business just create, again, we talked about earlier, a generic sort of product-based, here's what I do kind of site. But it was interesting for me to learn there's at least three buyer personas that are purchasing home theater systems. Firstly, there's the architect, because sometimes the people who make the choice of who's going to install the home theater system is not the homeowner. Sometimes it's the architect. Other times it's the builder, the person who's actually constructing a home or constructing the room that the home theater is going to go in. So the builder makes the choice of who they're going to work with. Sometimes it's the man of the house, you know, the gadget freak, the guy who's got the fast sports car and, you know, the expensive golf clubs. You know, he wants to make the purchase decision for that home theater system. And yet other times, I'm in the fourth buyer persona here, it might be a family decision. You know, the family could be just a husband and wife, or, you know, people who are living together, or it could be if they have, should be a family decision. Hey, we need to do a home theater system. Oh, hey, okay, well, let's do that together. That sounds like a good family project to figure out what we need. Now, each one of those four are completely different buyer personas. The builder, the architect, the gadget guy, and the family. Each one is purchasing what's essentially the same product, which is a home theater installation. The home theater specialist solves different problems for each of those four buyer personas. And if you were to create the perfect online initiatives for a business like that, then there would actually be, it'd be quite different content on a website, or quite different content if you were doing a podcast for those four different buyer personas. So that's the idea of buyer personas, and I think every organization needs to know who their buyer personas are. They need to learn as much as they can about those buyer personas, and then they need to create information especially for those buyer personas to help them solve problems, which ultimately turns your business into a worldwide rave because you're doing so well in answering people's problems on your with your online initiatives.
So I'm going to get into my buyer's head, my buyer persona. I'm going to not talk about my products, going to talk about help solving their problems. But some other advice you give in the book, Worldwide Rave, is to lose control.
Yeah.
About losing control. That's pretty hard for an entrepreneur to do. I mean,
really,
I started this business, you know, hey, I want control of this business. What do you mean by lose control?
There's a number of different aspects of losing control. One aspect, which is really important to remember, is we're talking here about how you can create something that gets people to talk about you. How can you create something online that's worth talking about, that people will recommend to their friends, that if they have a blog, they'll blog about it. They might put it on their Facebook page. You know, we've come up with a couple of examples. There's Dr. Smith, who's the dentist. She created this great ebook, and, you know, we came up with our hypothetical architect who is going to create a blog that chronicles how to build a house. So it's this valuable kind of information. But if you want people to talk about you, you have to let them talk. And for so long, business owners have been trying to control the messages that they deliver to their potential customers, existing customers. And that creates behavior like creating a vision statement or a mission statement. It also leads to some behavior like not putting a lot of information out there. And that behavior would manifest itself in something like this. Imagine there's a young architect at the architecture firm that says, oh my God, it'd be really cool to do a blog. I'm going to create this blog. It'll be really great. And then the one of the more senior people at the architecture firm says, why would we want to show all of our competitors our secrets and how we put together a house? That's not a good idea. So you know, there's this fear that when you put information out there, that it'll get into the wrong hands. You know, the competition will see it, or you know, they might. There's the other fear that, well, if we put all this information out there, well, you know, then we don't have anything to tell the prospective client when we finally meet them, because they're already going to see all of our secrets in the content that we put out there. And those are just really ill-founded fears. And the idea that you if you have the guts to lose control of your messages and lose control of your content and lose control of the ways that people talk about you, they will talk about you, and that's a good thing, not a bad.
Now, I quoted you a week or two ago on Twitter from your book. I was reading your book, Worldwide Rave. One of your quotes says, if you want your ideas to spread, you need to be involved in the online communities of people who actively share in that community.
Right.
And, you know, you get it, I'm sure. I get it, and I'm just a small-time marketer where people follow you on Twitter or join your Facebook group, and really their intent is to sell you something and not really go for that worldwide rave. What do you mean by putting down roots?
Putting down roots is just this idea that you need to be in the places that your potential customers are. So again, we'll go back to, you know, a business owner in a community. For example, many communities have a local newspaper that has an online forum or sets of online forums as part of them. So, you know, imagine, I mean, I live in the Boston area, and there's what's called Boston.com, which is run by the same company that runs our daily newspaper, the Boston Globe. And there's a lot of very, very active forums on Boston.com. For example, a very, very active forum of young mothers who share ideas about raising children, about discipline, you know, about, you know, what's the best stroller to buy, all this sort of stuff. Now, if you're in the business of selling a product or service to young mothers in Boston, you have to be on that forum. Yet almost nobody is. And I don't mean that you should be there like you just described and try to sell stuff. Mm-hmm. That's the wrong approach. You don't go in and say, hey, I sell strollers, buy one. But instead, you become an active participant, and you answer questions. You provide valuable information. You provide feedback, and you become part of that kind of a group of people who are talking and communicating. Sometimes it's better if you're part of that, we'll call it a tribe, if you will. So in that example I just gave, the Young Mothers Forum, you know, it'd be really good if you were selling products and services to young mothers in Boston, that the person that you chose to be a participant in that forum on behalf of your company, if they were a young mother, then that's going to be a hell of a lot better than if, you know, some 50-year-old man goes in there and does it. Although that's not a bad thing. I'm not suggesting that that's not a good approach. But even better if you're part of that demographic. But again, you don't go there to sell. You go there to participate, to provide valuable information. And people will learn your affiliation. You know, if you run the best, you know, baby clothing shop in Boston, and you're a part of a forum like that, people will know that. You don't have to tell them. It's part of your profile. And sooner or later, people will say, well, geez, next time I need to buy something, I'm going to buy it from my friend.
We're talking with David Meerman Scott. He is best-selling author of the book Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. And David, you got me convinced. I want to do a worldwide rave here.
Good for you. And when you do, send me the link to talk about it, because I love talking about people who have become successful with this kind of marketing. And it's people like you and me. People like Dr. Smith and you know, some of the other examples that have been very successful. They're not, no one's special. They don't have any special training. They don't have any, you know, particularly different ways of looking at what they're doing than we do. They just figured something out, made it happen, and I truly believe anyone who's listening in on this call can also do the same thing. You can make it happen. You can create something that will get people to talk about you. There's nothing better.
Well, as we close then, David, an entrepreneur, a small business owner, he's looking out there at this big webscape. Where do you get started? What's the step to creating this this worldwide rave?
Well, the first step is what we talked about a couple of minutes ago. It's the idea that you have to understand who your buyers are, your buyer personas. Because the first step is, how can you create something not for your own ego, but for you? That's the first step. The second step is just really simple. I always suggest to people that you spruce up your website. You know, before you even talk about necessarily creating a blog or doing YouTube videos or any of the other things that you can conceivably do. Just make your own website a buyer persona-based website as opposed to a website that's just about your products and services. That'll help a lot.
Well, that's David Meerman Scott, best-selling author of Worldwide Rave, Creating Triggers That Get Millions of People to Spread Your Ideas and Share Your Stories. David, we appreciate your time and your insights.
Thank you.
So what's keeping you from starting your own Worldwide Rave? You ask that question to entrepreneurs and small business owners, and I think the most common answer is the big idea. What do I have to say that's viral? Why would people talk about me? Well, there is something that people would talk about if you would just give them a reason. I have a different opinion on the number one reason people don't go for a worldwide rave. That reason is fear. Fear of jumping out there with something that's different. Fear of letting go of control and letting go of your content. But overcoming that fear is necessary to creating some buzz about you or your business. You can't be afraid of what people might think about you. Hey, maybe the idea you have won't create the reaction you thought it might. So what? What do you care? What do you care what people think about you? The alternative is to sit on the sidelines and do nothing, or worse, you try to do it like all the other carnival barkers out there on the internet. So that crazy idea you have one day while you're in the shower, or that wacky conversation you have with some friends over a beer, those are the things that create a worldwide rave. If you just go for it. So do it. Take the step, launch your idea, and create something interesting. Then let go of control. Let other people spread the idea for you. And when you do, hey, let me know. I'll post your idea on my blog or talk about it right here on the next episode of the podcast. So enough raving here on the podcast. Hey, don't forget you can add your comment or check the show notes out on the blog. That's themarketingspot.blogspot.com. You will also find links to all of David Meerman Scott's stuff. And if you want to add an audio comment to this podcast, send it to jay@themarketingspot.com. Who knows? It could be the start of your own worldwide rave. That's it for this episode of The Big Show. Make sure you subscribe so that you never miss an episode of the internet show that's all about small business marketing. Power to the small business.
You've been listening to the Marketing Spot Blogcast with Jay Arrett, the internet show about small business marketing. Please add your comment or post your question in the comment area below. You can email Jay with comments and suggestions to jay@themarketingspot.com. For more information about our company, see our website, themarketingspot.com. Power to the small business.